Welcome to episode 35 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church and creator of this series. For those viewers just joining the series, I urge you to watch episodes 29 and 31 for more on the meaning of the Greek words ego eime as a title of God and St. John's theology in John 1, 1 John 1, and Revelation 21. In this episode, my focus is on the final three I Am declarations. The tenth I Am saying, I am the resurrection and the life, happened in the context of St. John's account of the raising of Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha. The raising of Lazarus will be discussed in a separate episode on the unique miracles in the Gospel of St. John. The place is the small village of Bethany, 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem, on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives. St. John reveals that by the time Jesus arrived at the house, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The Orthodox Study Bible's commentary on this event reveals that in the Jewish rabbinical tradition, it was thought that the soul of the deceased lingered for 3 days, but that on the 4th day and later there was no hope of revival. This means that all present understood that on the 4th day Lazarus was truly dead. When St. John takes us into the scene, Jesus is being addressed by Martha, who with her sister Mary had sent for Jesus several days earlier at the onset of Lazarus' illness. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." In this dialogue, Martha mistakenly thinks that when Jesus said in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again," that he was referring to the general resurrection, a doctrine that Jesus had taught concerning end times. Jesus' correction of her assumption is spoken in the rabbinical style, a statement followed by an instructive question. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Her reply was not only positive, but completely without equivocation. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." In a later episode, I will discuss how the I Am declaration and Jesus' raising of Lazarus played into the final decision of the Jews to kill Jesus. The next I Am declaration, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," was part of Jesus' last conversation with the disciples before his arrest on the evening of Maundy Thursday. Other important events earlier that same evening were the washing of the disciples' feet, the Last Supper, and the institution by Jesus of the Sacrament of Holy Communion, not directly mentioned by St. John, and Jesus' prophecy that St. Peter would deny him 3 times. In John 14, verse 2, most translations use the phrase "mansions." This is the only use of the word in the King James Version. It comes from the Greek mone, which means a dwelling or place of dwelling, either singular or plural. The dialogue also includes the word way from the Greek hados and the Hebrew derek, which mean road or path. The Way was one of the early names Christians applied to themselves before the term Christianity came into widespread use. In the AIC publication, Christian Spirituality: An Anglican Perspective, available in paperback and Kindle versions at my author page, https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley, I discuss how the term was used in the Psalms to suggest a spiritual rather than literal meaning, that is, a course of life favored by God. Jesus had told them in John 13:33 that he was going away to a place where they could not come, prompting Peter to ask where. At the start of chapter 14, Jesus gives his reply not only to Peter, but to all present. I have added emphasis shown in italics or underlining to certain key words and phrases. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. In New Testament Greek, mansions does not mean palatial homes for the wealthy as it does in modern usage. It refers instead to dwelling places. In the first century style, there were separate dwellings facing a common courtyard. The image suggested in St. John's account is one of comfortable accommodation in the kingdom of the Father, or a place for you, as Jesus said in verse 2b and 3a, after, as Jesus said, he comes again, where I am, you may be also. And here note that the I am is not the divine ego eime, but in the original Greek language form, where am I? In Eastern Church teaching, mansions and a place for you is understood in a spiritual sense, implying the many blessings the Lord grants his people. In theological terms, this can be called a mercy of God. I discuss the many meanings of mercy in two AIC bookstore publications, Layman's Lexicon and Beliefs of the Anglican Church. The other key word in these verses is way. Jesus explains its meaning when speaking to Thomas in verses 4 through 7. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. There are three key words in verse 6, the way, the truth, the life. Each has a specific theological meaning. Jesus himself is the embodiment of the way or path, an extension of a manner of thought in Psalm 1, the two-way psalm. What he taught and what is written about those teachings in the New Testament is the truth. While there are many truths offered by many religions, traditional Christians believe that there is only one truth expressed with a capital T. As we teach in the AIC in the study of Christian spirituality, Christian truth found in the scripture is the only antidote to the existence of evil in the world. The third term, the life, is the way or the path a Christian lives, or how he or she walks, in terms of Psalm 1, if they believe in Jesus Christ as the only way or path to the Father, and are filled, as one is at baptism, with the Holy Spirit, who thereafter dwells within us. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus will explain more on this understanding in John 14, verses 12 and 13 below, and in the conversation following the final I Am declaration, I am the true vine, in chapter 15. Another source is Psalm 1, the two-way psalm, in which the world is divided into the godly or righteous and the ungodly. For more on this Old Testament understanding of way and how it is used in the book of Psalms, see Blessed is the Man, which is part 3 of Christian Spirituality and Anglican Perspective. The issue of the identity and appearance of the Father, which had come up whenever the scribes and Pharisees were present for the I Am declarations in the Gospel of St. John, the issue arises once again, but this time it came from within the inner circle, from the Apostle Philip. Jesus answers him, and in so doing offers more instruction on the meaning of way and life, and more divine wisdom and instruction concerning prayer, another example of theology in the Gospel of St. John. Verse 14 has been interpreted to mean that requests asked in Jesus' name and that glorify God the Father will be granted at the discretion of the Father. Christians also understand that prayers are not always answered in the way one expects. Prayer and prayer habits are the subject of Put Not Your Trust in Princes, a practical explanation in Part 4 of Christian Spirituality and Anglican Perspective. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And again, this is not the classic ego eimi. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The final I Am declaration, I am the true vine, which is spoken twice in chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, happens the same night, Maundy Thursday, before his arrest following Judas's betrayal. The key concepts in the I Am the True Vine declaration and the conversation that follows are many. This time, in order to present all 17 verses uninterrupted, I will offer instruction on the meaning of the key words or phrases before reading the verses. The relationship between the Son, who is the vine, and the Father, who is the vine dresser. The parallel relationship between God, the vine, and the faithful, who are the branches, that is found in the church. The fate of those who do not abide in Christ, that is, cast out to wither, gathered, thrown in the fire. And I will have more on the meaning of abide in a moment. The distinction between friend and servant. the first based upon love from the Greek agape, and the latter on fear, not the theological fear of the Lord, but the actual fear of punishment. The new commandment to love one another, the relationships between and among the faithful based on the divine virtue of love, a favorite theme found in all of St. John's writing, and all based on agape or agapao, and unrelated to the many other Greek words translated as love in Western Bibles. For more on the important differences in meaning of the many Greek words translated as love, see the entry for love/loving in Layman's Lexicon. The word the works or fruit or fruits, which in the previous I Am declaration, I am the way, the truth, and the life, are referred to as the way and the life, which means that which results from the faithful accepting the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit in the heart. The word abide, used 10 times in chapters 12, 14, and 15 of John's Gospel, and 3 times in his epistles, comes from the Greek meno. It literally means to reside or to dwell, but as used by St. John, and he used it more times than any other New Testament author, it has a spiritual meaning describing a state of mind rather than a physical place. Abide is closely related to the concept of fruit or works which flow from the presence of God in the heart of the faithful. As noted earlier, these fruits are, in fact, what was meant by the way and the life in John 14, verse 6. The meaning is prefigured in Psalm 1, mentioned earlier, the Two Ways Psalm, in which the division, the world is divided into the ungodly or ungodly and the righteous. St. John in John 15, verses 1 to 17, offers you a traditional Christian theology presented in summary through a powerful word picture, that is, Jesus' final address to the disciples immediately before his arrest on Maundy Thursday. In the Synoptic Gospels, much of the same message is told as a parable. Here in the Gospel of St. John, this is not a parable. In these verses, nothing is hidden, and everything is revealed. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As my Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." In the Synoptic Gospels, it is only after the resurrection that Jesus gives the disciples the great commission to spread the gospel to the world. In St. John's spiritual-minded account of the last days of Jesus' earthly life, Jesus has given much the same message, but in a unique and clearly spiritual-minded way typical of St. John's gospel, in which they demonstrate the faith by their example. "Go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain." Next time, in episode 36, my focus will be on the unique miracles or signs in the Gospel of St. John, beginning with the wedding at Cana. Thank you for joining me for episode 35 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. You can support this internet ministry in any of several ways. Make a donation in any amount payable to the Anglican Internet Church and sending it to our business office address, 7162 Southwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23111. Purchase any book from the AIC bookstore through my author page at Amazon.com, https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. Like us and subscribe to our podcast at our Podbean site by clicking on the RSS feed logo at the Podbean site. You can read my weekly blog posts and subscribe to them at https://www://www.anglicaninternetchurch.wordpress.com. You can follow us and like us on our Facebook page using the link at the homepage of our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Once you're at the Facebook page, bookmark it for easy return. On our YouTube page, you can join our Google Plus circle by clicking the subscribe button. Google Plus members get notified of each new video. The Google site is https://www.youtube.com/user/saint/John/C/videos. Finally, you can get our weekly update via email by requesting it at fron.stjohnanglican@earthlink.net. Names and email addresses of all recipients are blocked to protect your privacy, and we will gladly remove your name by a similar email at your request. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other topic, please call on my cell phone 804-306-1190. The best times are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.